Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Thursday, May 25th, 2023. The UN suspends aid delivery in Jonglei State.
To have lorries attacked on the perimeter of the UN compound is beyond unacceptable, and we have no choice but to pause operations out of war until the safety and security of our staff and assets can be assured.
And some South Sudanese say African leaders must develop their countries to make it attractive.
Every African child should be happy, be proud of this day. As we celebrate our independent days individually as countries, we also should celebrate the symbol of African unity and the commitment to peace as a continent.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The UN Food Agency, World Food Programme, says it has suspended aid delivery outside the Jonglei State capital, Bor, due to insecurity. WFP's representative in South Sudan says the transitional government of national unity should protect aid agencies delivering the much-needed support to families across South Sudan. Dengai Deng has details for VOA from Bor.
The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or UNOCHA, in South Sudan issued a statement Wednesday accusing a group of armed men on motorbikes of looting five WFP trucks loaded with food supplies. Mary Helen Mokroti, the World Food Programme's representative in South Sudan, told VOA Thursday that the trucks were loaded with 1 month's 100 metric tons food for feeding more than 11,000 people. She says the incident, which occurred outside a UN compound in Bor town, has forced WFP to suspend its operations in the outskirts of Bor town.
To have lorries attacked on the perimeter of the UN compound is beyond unacceptable, and we have no choice but to pause operations out of Bor until the safety and security of our staff and assets can be assured. This will have an impact upon more than 1 million people in Jonglei and Pibor, many of whom are women and children who rely on the assistance of WFP provides.
Peter Bender Awarat, the chief of the mission for the International Office for Migration in South Sudan, condemned the incident, saying targeted attacks on humanitarian assets threaten charitable response in the country.
And if people are starting to think that when they put their tax money into humanitarian assistance in South Sudan, a lot of it is being stolen or being looted, or there's many incidents, it will become more difficult for us as humanitarian actors here in South Sudan to mobilize international funding to support our work here. So it has a longer-term effect where these attacks are very detrimental for the image of South Sudan. And
Michael Madinga Akweth is the chairperson of the South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission in Jonglei State. Akweth says WAP suspended its operations during a looming humanitarian crisis across South Sudan.
It is very unfortunate that such declaration could be made in a country that is facing a lot of challenges in terms of the returnees that are coming back from Sudan and the IDPs that are returning back from the displaced camps. This is very unfortunate. It will have a lot of impact on the total population, and especially the most vulnerable that were being supported by WFP.
The Troika countries of Norway, the United Kingdom, the United States condemned the incident in a joint statement released Tuesday. Michael J. Adler is the U.S. ambassador to South Sudan. He spoke in an audio message forwarded to VOA.
We condemn the May 23rd attack by armed individuals at a World Food Programme warehouse in Bor, Jonglei State. We stand with the World Food Programme and all courageous aid workers and organizations who seek to help South Sudanese people in need. We reiterate our calls on the transitional government to establish conditions conducive to the safe and effective provision of humanitarian assistance.
Dine Jok Chagur, governor of Jonglei State, said security forces have managed to arrest at least four suspects who were transported to Juba for further investigation. Dine also directed the security forces to recover the WFP looted food. The UN's World Food Program suspended relief operations in South Sudan in March this year due to armed attacks on humanitarian workers in Jonglei State. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng.
Still on humanitarian issues, some South Sudanese church leaders say the country is at the verge of witnessing a humanitarian crisis in Upper Nile State following the influx of refugees and returnees fleeing the conflict in Sudan. A coalition of church leaders from various denominations in Upper Nile State say more needs to be done to help families arriving from Sudan. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Father Paulino Tipo Deng, chairperson of Upper Nile Religious Initiative for Peace and Reconciliation, says more than 70,000 South Sudanese returnees and Sudanese refugees have crossed into South Sudan through Upper Nile State. He says majority of refugees and returnees entering South Sudan through Jouda checkpoint are still stuck at the checkpoints, while others are temporarily residing in Paloj, Renk, Malakal, and Maban.
Some organizations, especially the IOM, the Caritas of Malakal Diocese, and the UNHCR, have been transporting the refugees and the returnees from Jouda to Renk and Malakal. There are also some organizations like World Food Program and others who are trying to supply the refugees and the returnees with food plus other needs. Nevertheless, these efforts are meager because the situation is much more demanding.
The church leaders say the influx of refugees and returnees due to the conflict in Sudan adds to some of the existing problems, like internal displacements caused by flooding and violent conflicts among armed factions in Upper Nile and Greater Fanjak in 2022.
You know, this area, the population was less. And now with the abrupt arrival of so many, then we see that even the prices have gone up strongly. This is number one. For example, myself, I was among the team, and when I went there to run, I bought this bottle of water, 1,000, while in Juba here is 150.
Reverend Elijah Riakchol, the Secretary General of the Upper Nile Religious Initiative for Peace and Reconciliation, says urgent interventions are needed from the national and state governments as well as aid agencies to support the returnees to reach their various destinations.
If the situation is going to increase, and what will be the result? Because if you are going to have anger and you don't have food, now you are going to take out of somebody. Even the good, you are going to loot. Now the crime will arise in all South Sudan, and the problem will be still on our neck.
On Wednesday, Nicola Saysom, the special representative of the Secretary General of the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, warned that if the Sudanese conflict continues, there will be significant security, economic, and humanitarian consequences for South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Maria Lo, where some residents and leaders in Warap State are raising concerns over lack of health facilities at Maria Lo Hospital, which serves hundreds of thousands of people in Tonch East and North counties. The information minister in Warap State says services ceased at the health center after intercommunal violence that left hundreds of people killed in 2021 and 2022. William Sandemabor reports from Rumbek.
Volunteer health workers say the hospital has no drugs and workers have not been paid since August last year. Some residents say the only health facility in the area, Maria Lo Hospital, which serves hundreds of thousands of people in Tonch East and North counties, cease providing services following intercommunal violence that left hundreds of people killed in 2021 and 2022. Some health workers say 10 patients died at the facility from the treatable conditions early this month, while two pregnant women died over the weekend at the hospital due to lack of medicines. VOA could not independently verify the accounts from the health workers. Warabi State Information Minister William Wolmayom admits some patients have died due to lack of drugs. He says the state government is making arrangements to buy some drugs for Kwajuk and Marialo hospitals.
In fact, the health situation could be deteriorating because no enough medications from the side of supply, and also there is no qualified or there are no qualified doctors that could run the hospital. Hopefully, the state government under the Minister of Health, recently the memo was raised by the Minister of Health, Honorable Abang Yalmadat, in regards to the two hospitals, and the state government has taken a responsibility. Then the state government is also trying to buy some medicine as a supply to the hospitals of both Marialo and Kwajuk. However, the demand could not be excellent as before. This could be actually the result of maybe some patient that could pass on.
Temwal Madut says he was admitted at Marialo Hospital for several days. He says the hospital lacks mattress, adding that he and other patients slept on the floor. Madut says medical workers often tell patients to go and buy medicine from private pharmacies in Western Barlagazali State capital Wau.
First of all, patients are admitted on the bed without a mattress and no drug. Sometimes I opt to sleep on the floor because sleeping on a metallic bed hurt patients a lot. The nurses here only diagnose and tell you to go and buy medicine. And some patients come without money to buy medicine. I beg our government to respond quickly because we, the community in Toin, North and East, are suffering a lot.
Mary Angara, one of the volunteer medical workers at Marialo Hospital, says aside from the lack of drugs, health workers at the facility have not been paid since August last year. She says each medical worker received 3,000 South Sudanese pounds only. Angara says the staff at the hospital feel like they have been abandoned by their government and health partners.
We are here in 2021 during crisis, and we left in hospital helping our vulnerable patients. And now the big challenge is lack of drugs in hospital. We are lacking so many things, but nothing coming from anywhere.
Minister Mayom is appealing to aid agencies to support Marialo with drugs, adding that health centers in both Toin East and North counties have no drugs. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur, reporting in Rumbek, Lagos State.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what are Africans saying on Africa Day? Find out more after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's a bad habit that you have struggled to give up?
Bad habit. I love sleeping a lot. Yeah, that's my bad habit. I love sleeping. Sometimes I fail to catch up on time because of sleep.
That habit of being jealous to my wife, yes, that one. I've tried to be to control myself so that I should not be jealous of her, but I do fail.
A short temper, because I think that it is a genetic, so I can not give up.
I tend to overreact when my kids do something wrong, and I end up regretting the consequences of my actions after giving them too tough punishments.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Today is Africa Day, and this year's commemoration coincides with the 60th anniversary of the founding of the Organization of Africa Unity, or OAU. Now, the African Union. The African Union Chairperson Commission, Musa Faki Mahamat, said foreign interference is destabilizing Africa and making conflicts too complex. Professor Sipho Sepe, former deputy vice chancellor at the University of Zululand, tells James Batty that foreign interference in Africa began with colonization.
Colonization was the first interference. The post-independence also happened to coincide with the Cold War. And that Cold War in Africa, it meant the Soviet Union and the Western countries trying to influence Africa. And that led to the destabilization and continued the battle internally within the countries. Then the second one is African leaders themselves failing to sustain the democratic promise, where some of them became corrupt and it led to internal strife. And then they use NGOs that are supported externally. So there's no conflict in Africa that it did not get a financial support and military support from outside. And what we've also seen is that the African leaders themselves tend to be beholden to Western powers. So it is no surprise that they can easily be manipulated. And it also it's important for Africans to start looking at African solutions. And this is why the AU was formed. But the first port of call is to deal with silencing the guns in Africa.
Professor, let me ask, because I see that the African Union Commission Chairperson, Musa Faki Mahamat, mentioned during that discussion that there is also the weakness of intra-African solidarity.
Yeah, because African leaders, they try to outshine each other and they try to be the good boys of the West or the East. You see how the president of South Africa gets so happy when he's invited to the G7, and he sees himself as a point man in Africa for Africa without even a mandate from the African Union. So this is what leads to this absence of inter-Africa solidarity.
In the article written about the discussion, Rwanda's foreign minister, Vincent Biruta, was also a part of that discussion. He was quoted as saying that interference is an intervention in a situation without invitation. And it reminds me about the issue in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Both Rwanda and the DRC are accusing each other of interference.
What do we need to understand is the source of the conflicts, that the Africans themselves must resolve those conflicts. But it's actually correct to say, when you say somebody's interfering, it means that person has not been invited. And the problem with some of the border conflicts are religious and ethnic and economic. But they will need a form of mediation among Africans themselves.
Let me ask you then, what are the solutions to this whole idea of interference?
The establishment of AU is part of the solution. What they need to do is to start creating a rapid force deployment committee that will deal with the mediation, and where there'll be a selection of former heads of states who understand statecraft to be able to resolve those challenges.
That's Sipho Sepe, former deputy vice chancellor at the University of Zululand, speaking with VOA's James Batty. On this Africa Day, the continent continues to be the focus of unprecedented attention from global powers, especially the two biggest, the United States and China. Many analysts call it the new scramble for Africa. whatever the name, it's clear that the rest of the world has realized that Africa is integral to the planet's future. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
China's not hiding its desire for African minerals. Chinese-owned mines have sprung up across the continent. Africa holds the largest reserves of materials, including coltan, platinum, and chromium, which are needed to make essentials like cell phones and computers, not to mention its diamonds and gold. China is giving the continent aid, investment, and loans, while funding projects from roads to energy and telecommunications. But these come at a price, and much of Africa owes billions of dollars to Beijing. In December, at the United States-Africa Leaders Summit in Washington, President Joe Biden said the U.S. would commit $55 billion to African development over the next 3 years.
The United States is all in on Africa's future. The United States is signing an historic memorandum of understanding with the new African Continental Free Trade Area Secretariat. This MOU will unlock new opportunities for trade and investment between our countries and bring Africa and the United States even closer than ever.
But skeptics like Kenyan intellectual and lawyer Patrick Lumumba say African leaders are allowing the continent to be recolonized.
So today, as I look at Africa in that new scramble, the Chinese are here. I hope that this institution was not built by the Chinese. The Turks are here. The British are here. The Americans are here. The French are here. The Qataris are here. They are so subtle that we don't even recognize them, but they control us. You'll see Macron come and meet your president. You'll see all of them. And then they will never admit, but they'll be told, if you want money in agriculture, behave this way. If you want money in this area, behave this way.
Lumumba was speaking at a recent function at Lagos State University. He said the path to true development lay in Africa uniting, instead of each country looking after its own narrow self-interest. But Lumumba added, such unification wouldn't mean much if the continent didn't have electricity and was constantly at war with itself.
It is only through industrialization that we are going to be manufacturers in all sectors. As it is now, 80% of what we consume in manufactured goods are from China. If China closes shop, we are dead. I'm thinking that Africa Continental Free Trade Area is a good thing. But how are we going to trade? How are we going to get somebody to drive a truck from Accra, Ghana, to Juba, or to Asmara in Eritrea without peace and security?
Lumumba's message to African leaders was, cooperate with the powers that want a stake in the continent, but don't sell Africa's soul and wealth to fill your own pockets. Otherwise, he said, Africa was doomed to repeat all the mistakes and injustices of the past. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
From Johannesburg, we move to Juba to hear from South Sudanese who are commemorating the Africa Day. Some South Sudanese in the capital, Juba, say leaders from the continent should do more to develop their countries. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Paul Chol, a South Sudanese residing in Juba, says Africa has interesting cultures and beautiful natural scenery that should be appreciated.
There is so much about Africa that people don't appreciate. For example, we have beautiful cultures, we have incredible nature, and we have also favorable temperatures.
Africa's 54 countries are marking the day under the theme Promoting and Appreciating Knowledge in and from Africa. Moses Pitia, another South Sudanese in Juba, says the continent lacks visionary leaders who can tackle underdevelopment. Pitia stresses that Africa has suffered from a series of wars and ethnic violence which has tarnished the image of the continent. He says economic crisis, insecurity and bad governance are among the factors hindering development in Africa.
African also face low growth, high unemployment, poverty, inequality, and so many challenges on economic part. While also in food security, Africa struggle to feed its growing population due to climate change, drug, and poor infrastructure.
PTA encourages African leaders to work hard and develop the continent, adding that Africa is rich with natural resources.
Yes, we are celebrating this African Day. Want to send my message to our leaders in African country. Let them actually work hard for the development of the continent. As we know, Africa well is a continent with a lot of resources. We have a lot of mineral resources, and we have a lot of resources that if our leaders work hard for the development of this continent, the African will go further.
Danson Machek says he is proud to celebrate the 60th edition of Organization of Africa Unity, which is commemorated annually.
Every African child should be happy, be proud of this day. As we celebrate our independent days individually as countries, we also should celebrate the symbol of African unity and the commitment to peace as a continent.
Machek stresses that as an African child, Africa Day is a symbol of African unity and peace on the continent. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still on Africa Day, Ruben Chama in Nairobi spoke to people about what Africa Day means to them. Here are a few of their comments.
My name is Daisy Kirema. I'm a graduate. I'm a strategic management graduate. To me, when I hear the word Africa Day, I think of how we celebrate Africa as a whole, ourselves as Africans. Just the concept we have of Africa, and I think it brings so much independence. It's just a depiction of the independence we have as African countries. So compared to how we used to being dependent on Western countries, I think Africa is currently finding its voice. Yeah.
My name is Eugene Omondi from Goethe Institute, Kenya. It really means a lot to me, though I feel that the organization to some extent has been a letdown in some catastrophic like drought, majorly affecting the Horn of Africa mostly. The issue that has been arising recently, the coups that have been happening maybe in West Africa, and the current ones has happened in Sudan. That has brought a lot of humanitarian crisis. I think these are the things that we should be focusing while we are celebrating this. And going forth, I would like the leaders to try to focus on curb such kind of thing. To my African leaders, they can do much better than they have done. I don't dispute that most of them have done a great job, but I still believe there is a room to make improvement in how we govern ourselves.
That's all we prepared for you on this Africa Day, Thursday, May 25th. We now leave you with Tina Turner and the song What's Love Got to Do with It?
Of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl opposites attract. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more.
We've been listening to Tina Turner and the song What's Love Got to Do with It? Tina Turner died yesterday, and she was known as the Queen of Rolling Rock. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit Africa, voaafrica.com, for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this broadcast, go to voa.africa.com/South Sudan On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and our engineer, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.